Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Welcome to Local Food Connections, a show about the power of locally grown food to connect us more strongly with our communities and the lands we inhabit. Local Food Connections is brought to you by Local Food Connect. We're broadcasting from Wurundjeri country and pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. We respect the enduring strength of First Nations people and acknowledge their long heritage of agriculture and care for the land in which our food is now grown. Today, my guests are Emma, May and Pascal from the Rain Moth Community Nursery, which is based in Coburg. Rain Moth is a volunteer-run community nursery offering low or no-cost native and edible plants with the goal of supporting food resilience and biodiversity in the Melbourne area. They also run working bees, plant sales and creative workshops, often held at venues like East Coburg and Newlands neighbourhood houses. So welcome to all of you. It's great to have you.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
So I don't mind who starts, whoever feels the most qualified for this one. Just tell us the name, the origins of the name, because Rain Moth is a fascinating name for a nursery. Who would like to start? It's going May, go ahead.
We talk a lot about rain moth in this area. A lot of people see them on the creek. They kind of poke up from the ground when the rains have come, and from there a moth emerges. So it's quite a well-known, I don't know how well-known it is, but it's an intriguing. Yeah, it's a well-noticed and intriguing moth here.
So is it indigenous to that part of Melbourne or to everywhere or what?
Yeah, quite broad in Victoria, yeah.
Just Victoria. I don't want to ever come across one actually because I saw them online when I was looking you up and everything, and they're bloody huge, aren't they? They're like the size of the palm of your hand. I don't really love moths.
And they only live for about 24 hours, though, so it's actually really hard to see the moth.
They live longer.
You normally see the little casing that they leave behind when they emerge out of the ground.
Good. That's they're respecting my phobia. That's good. All right. So you thought that was a cool name because that they were sort of around your area, the area of the nursery. And where did you get the land from? Why have you? How did you acquire the land?
So we didn't, and that's the idea of the rain moth, is that just like the rain moth, we pop up
of
nowhere. And we wanted a connection with an indigenous animal, biodiversity nurture animal.
So where do you pop up?
So, yeah, we don't have nursery premises as such. Our sales are at the Newlands neighbourhood house mostly. And Netchi has been really supportive of what we're doing, but we're a distributed nursery. So we have regular working bees and then we look after the little plant seedlings at home and then we bring them all together for our sales.
That's totally unique. That's
We initially, we really admired the work of Brunswick Communities for Nature. Mm-hmm. Who do indigenous plants. And we spoke to them initially to see if we could sell their plants further up or get involved somehow. And they said that they're at the right size for them and we should go and do something up north. So that's how we kind of started.
All right. That's fascinating. Maybe I could just ask each of you, What your story is that led you to be interested in doing this work? I'll just start with Emma,
We met because we're Gardens for Wildlife guides, and that's a program that runs. We volunteer for the Marybeck program, but it runs in lots of different council areas across Victoria. And so we all have an interest in indigenous plants and supporting urban biodiversity and bringing wildlife into our gardens. And so we met through that.
Okay, that's how you met. And May, Tell me why you're interested in that sort of thing.
The nursery.
Well, just about preserving Indigenous plants and making habitat for Indigenous wildlife.
We live really close to the creek. This whole area is close to the creek. I also do work at Neepchi, which is two houses connected by the creek. And I think what all the groups, like all the friends of groups, have done along the creek is really extraordinary. And I think there's just such a growing interest here. There are, more and more nature strips being planted out here. And just a growing fascination I definitely see with the indigenous invertebrates and, trying to see if you can garden in a way that attracts, blue-banded bees and a pond that might be a stopping place for frogs from the creek. And it's just, yeah, it's just lovely. I've got a small son and definitely just coming to the neighborhood house and being able to garden together was a really extraordinary experience.
Lovely. And Pascal?
I suppose at Garden for Wildlife Guides, when we visit people and we tell them, oh, this is what you could do, and we write a short report, and then they get a 10 plant voucher from the council. And the three of us were realizing, okay, that's great. They got information, they're keen, they got 10 plants, but we know that what we recommend is way more than 10 plants. And it does add up. So we don't want to compete against Indigenous nurseries. That's not our aim at all. But we know all of them around here are absolutely swamped with orders. They can't even fulfill the order. And retail for them is more a bother, really. Like it's not. It's a small thing compared to 10,000 plant order from a council or even more.
Sure, yeah.
So we know that if we do the easy plant to grow, which has the fillers, they can get a much better success at getting the nature strip going and being healthy instead of being straight away invaded by weeds. And by providing it at a low cost, it's
Yeah.
we still want them to go and visit the indigenous nurseries to get those special plants, but like we want to provide the fillers. And from my experience, I absolutely love growing plants and it makes me happy. And so when we reached the 1.5 degree one day, for climate change, I got so angry. I said, I'm mad. I need to do something about it. And meeting Emma in May was just like, it just coalesced into something. Yeah, this is where I fit. This is what I can do. And it's also a community reaching thing. Because I need a community around me, so that's and I get a community of people who love plants, and we've met amazing growers, so that's been really good.
We just want to grow to kind of 20 volunteer growers, and then we hope to kind of if anyone else wants to pop one up near them, then we'd love to support another group to grow as well.
Love it. I love the way you're thinking, the one step at a time.
Oh yeah.
Meet three of you, then pull in some other people. And I'm interested, Pascal, are you, so the program is that you go to somebody's house.
The Garden for Wildlife program, yes. So that's a council program. It runs in Darebin, it runs in Marybeck, it runs in quite a few councils around Melbourne. And you get trained as a guide, and you go and visit, you ask questions, you see what they want, you write a report trying to help them to achieve that, and giving them steps and a suggestion of plants. And so yeah, it's great. You get also to meet amazing people. And you get to see the garden happening, and they send us photos.
And you connect with more people in your community. Wonderful.
Actually, the just have to say something about the volunteer growers. I know Emma's been doing a lot of work with them, but just such an extraordinary, just such a diverse group of people, and we're just always having fun. There seem to be like musicians and designers and people. We've started with plant sales, but the musicians are starting to want to come along as well. So there's just so much opportunity.
There's
People
such a
involved.
craving for community, I think, and
Yes, it is.
Emma, did you have something to add to that? You just
No, just I
laughed.
was going to echo what May was saying, that it's a really lovely and diverse group of people and just all brought together through the love of plants. I think plant people are always lovely people, so.
And it's wonderful that anyone that's listening to this can get involved in this sort of thing just by going to their council. So, there's something stable and set up for them to access this. Now,
And so
about
even if we started from the idea of indigenous plants, we all, I mean, that's what you know very quickly. All people interested in indigenous plants are usually gardeners, but people who are gardeners don't necessarily know about indigenous plants. So that was twofold for us. A, we know there's need for cheap seedlings, veggie seedlings and flowers. And so we wanted to help provide that, but we thought we're reaching out to a group of people, and we can initiate them to indigenous plants
And
too,
how
as well as they can be quite quicker to produce. So starting from nowhere, we thought if we have vegetables to sell, we can have something to sell quicker while we've got on the side, we're building our stock of indigenous plant.
do you mean non-indigenous vegetables? Just
Yeah,
the
we sell indigenous plant, vegetables, and what we call beneficial flowers that attract wildlife too.
So we're currently growing things like tomatoes and eggplants and basil and getting ready
Oh,
for the
I
summer
see.
season as well. Yeah.
So you're just propagating those and looking after them at each of your
As well,
houses.
yeah.
That's
We've
amazing.
got quite a network of growers as well. So they'll come to the working bees, and then they'll take plants home to grow and water. It's just that's the distribution, how the distributed nursery works.
Wow.
Yeah, and it also helps to keep the cost down, I think. So people can come to a sale. We've had somebody come with a piggy bank full of gold coins that they've scrounged around the house. And yeah, the punnets and the tubes are all just a gold coin.
That's so good. So the indigenous plants, speaking from experience, I find them a little bit difficult to grow, and I sometimes get disappointed. I'll put them in and they don't do much, whereas the weedy ones do much better. What advice can you, what does anyone got any knowledge about why that is, or do you find that too, or am I just
Yes, it's
having
all
it?
about preparation
Is
and
it?
understanding. So that's why, too, for me, that whole Rain Moss project is also a learning experience for us. I'm learning so much, but all the people that either they come to the sale or our growers, we're bound to learn. And we're bound, that's one of my favorite saying is that I learned so much from a mistake, I'm going to make another one. And like, I've done lots of mistakes and I'm learning. Like, we started some plants, and honestly, I don't know what they are, but they came up. Like, we had a mixed plant from Melbourne Meadows and just put them in, and lots of them came up. And like, now I look at them and I go, okay, I reckon there's two different species there, but I don't know what you are. But it's great. I think I love that process of learning through experience.
And
We
what
also have had gardens wildlife guides come to the sales just to help people understand, like how to prep for putting the plants in, which has been really great. And I think Emma's been talking about doing more education as well in the future, because we have secured a grant that would help us to do that as well.
very good.
And to go back to your question about what the indigenous plant might not work, preparation is really the key. That like as Garden for Wildlife, we will always tell people you need to put very thick cardboard, like just two layers, and very thick mulch, and then plant. Or you need to zonk all the weeds before, which is impossible. So yeah, and then you need to learn your plant, because you're going to have to learn to know which one's a weed, which one's an indigenous plant. It's a fantastic process, though. So I think it's worth to develop that skill of learning about indigenous plants and when to plant them, what they do. I say, oh, every plant got a personality. So if you want diversity, you're going to have to meet a lot of very
Different.
interesting personality plants.
Beautiful. What about the soil? Is this are their soil needs different from?
In Melbourne, like where we are on the Mary Creek, lots of people are very worried about their clay soil, but that's the best plant for that soil, actually, because that's a native soil. Grassland plants are schizophrenic. They love lots of water or lots of dry. And so that's why very often they die over summer and then they sprout back. And then if you don't know how to recognize it, you weed it and they go, oh, it didn't work. But no, it just die out and then comes back.
Ah, maybe
So
that's
there's lots
why.
of knowledge that's needed to have a good garden.
Slums in some metropolitan centers are coming down. condemned by forward-looking civic governments. Down are coming the bad living conditions that produce bad citizens.
The practical uses of asbestos are very numerous. At least 18,000 articles are made of it.
In the spring, the nature-loving Australian goes bush. The wife washes and the dishes dry themselves.
Amy is a serial pest.
Cities within cities, scientifically planned and built, where a man and his family with a small income can live with comfort and dignity as investments in democracy.
Kill your lawn and kick your fence. A show about how we live in the cities and suburbs and the ideologies behind them. Fridays every fortnight at 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on 3CR 855 AM.
Rubbish tip to you.
This is the Local Food Connection show on 3CR 855 kilohertz on your AM radio dial and 3CR on digital radio. You can visit the 3CR website and listen to the live streaming of the show. Today I'm chatting with Emma May, who has had to duck out and go to something else, and Pascal, all about the Rain Moth pop-up distributed nursery, which has got a really great model of using the community centre being attached to a council program and growing food at home, Indigenous food plants and other Indigenous plants that attract insects and other wildlife, then just coming together and selling it at a very low cost to people who want to do the same.
With the dirt, you'll observe it's certainly not inert. From a worm to a chicken, you're never alone on the loam, and it's time to...
And like with any plants, it's about the right plant for the right conditions that you've got. So, you know, understanding the sun and the water and all of those sorts
of things. Trial and error. What about edible ones? What have you got some Indigenous edible ones?
Oh, yes, we do. We've got myrtles because I've been involved quite a bit with the Mary Myrtle group. And we do grow myrnong, and myrnong actually very easy to grow. That's not a problem. The reason they die is that snails and slugs love them, and there's a disease that they get. So either you treat, which is quite a commitment, or you replace them every year. But they're easy to grow. So
that's the yam daisy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a yam daisy. Yeah, like you could treat them as an annual vegetable, really.
And it eating the tuber, the bit underneath?
Yep.
That's great. How big are they? How big is the...
Not very big. I'll imagine Warrangerie had their own variety, just like Italian got, tomato varieties.
Yeah.
So we're just dealing with what's left and what's... But they are easy to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And the tuber, the biggest one, again, there's different variety, but like the size of your thumb would be a good size.
Yeah.
They're very good for, they're full of inulin, so that's very good for people who've got diabetes. So, lots of good things about myrtle, but the yam, the bulbine is actually more tasty and much easier to grow.
And you just use it like a potato or a sweet potato?
Yeah, but the bulbine would be about that big, so I don't know, like bigger than a 50 cents corn.
Yes, yeah.
And thicker, like 2 or 3 centimeters deep.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what else?
We've got, we do lots of river mint. So that's the native mint that grows really well here. It's one of those, just like the regular mint, you have to keep it in a pot because it tends to take over the garden if you let it. And I've been having Warrigal green seedlings popping up in my garden. So I've been potting those up for the nursery too, because they just, I mean, they love growing here. They love the conditions here. It's such an easy plant to grow.
They just want to grow, don't they?
They do.
So just
like the river mint is a good herbal plant. So it's, for your tea and et cetera, or you can add it to your salad or whatever. It's very strong, though. It's a medicinal plant. And another medicinal plant is a clematis, the small leaf clematis. And we have finally cracked how to grow them. So I've got a few coming up. So, that's another, it's not a food plant, but it's a medicinal plant.
The river mint's very minty, isn't it? It's very
sweet. Beautiful taste. Unique.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, much stronger than some of the
Just need one or two leaves in a cup of tea, that's all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're not big leaves either.
Tiny little ones. And what else can you offer?
That's probably all of the indigenous edibles that we have.
Like, again, we're starting small and we're going to grow. So I'm definitely looking to sneezeweed, which is another medicinal plant, very good for lots of things. I definitely want to look, but they're really hard to grow, the Bilateral Scandens. Appleberry.
Appleberry.
So that's a little shrub, so that's a great plant. Because
appleberry. Is that like the kangaroo apple or?
No. It's a smaller plant than kangaroo apple, and it's a vine that grows on the fence and stuff. And the berry is about 1 to 2 centimeters long and oblong, maybe maximum 1 centimeter large, wide. Mm. But the taste of it is fantastic. Mm. It's just like apricot jam.
The indigenous things are much stronger in taste, like the finger limes, the citrusy ones are much stronger than the introduced citrus. How can people get involved with the Rainmoth Community Nursery?
Yeah, well, as Pascal said, we've been successful in getting a grant from the Marybeck Council, and so that's given us some more financial capacity to grow and also to produce more plants that we can share with other community groups. So we're really keen to work with other kind of local community gardens or re-veg groups and things like that, where we might be able to provide seedlings or swap seeds and that sort of thing. So we'd really encourage people to get in touch.
Mm-hmm.
We are looking for more volunteer growers. So if there's anyone who lives nearby to the sort of Newlands area and would like to get involved, welcome to come along to a working bee. And we also have our next sale coming up on the 18th of October, which is a Saturday morning. So if people would like to get some seedlings for their summer vegetable garden or some indigenous seedlings, we'll have lots of things available there for sale.
Just for a gold coin.
A gold coin, yeah, that's right.
Now, what if someone was to come from far away?
It's their life, it's what they want.
Okay, yeah, so you give to whoever, but you're really thinking very much in terms of that region around the Merri Creek and
we are very aware about sustainability. So up to now, we try to reuse the pot we use. Mm-hmm. Like we go to the nursery crates and we dig out and wash them because we don't want to get the disease or whatever, clean mm-hmm. them and then use them. So we especially if anybody got stash of them, we have to the forestry tube. But not necessarily the regular size forestry tube. We have to the half size forestry tube, because that's also one of the thing we realize is that all indigenous nursery grow in forestry tube, but they're, as the name say, forestry. So they're intended to grow shrubs and trees, where really, if you grow a grass is shallow rooted, I grow them in punnets because mm-hmm. that's what I mean by the fillers for nature strip. If I put 3, 4, 5, depending on the size, grasses in a punnet. And we also do things where no nursery will do that, when we put 5 different grasses in a punnet. So people can get that experience of different things, get those filler for cheap. Mm-hmm. Like they pay $2, they get 5 grasses. Mm-hmm. And they plant them. That will fill the nature stream
that'll
much
just spread,
than going and spend $5 per grass somewhere.
Sure.
And they're easy to grow. So we can do that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you French by any chance?
I'm Australian now, but I was born in France. Yes.
Now, the thing about France is the deep, beautiful soil and everything.
Yes.
Did you garden over there?
I did, but I came here when I was a young adult, so I've gardened a lot here. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And Emma, New Zealand?
Yes. Yeah. That's right. But I've been here for coming up to 19 years, so.
As we say, you're multicultural and multi-age group.
We are.
Yeah, which is another wonderful thing, natural community building, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
Yes.
Multicultural and multi-age group. Now, what about our connection with Indigenous knowledge? Are you in contact with any Indigenous people, or how do you work that in?
I am personally, but that's not an association with the nursery.
Yes.
But yes, I have some connection that, but yeah, it's different.
Yeah.
I don't want to use, you know, you have to be respectful.
Sure.
And yeah. Yeah. So yeah, we'll see what we evolve into. That's certainly an option. But yeah, we need to get, we only started basically last December.
Oh, okay.
We absolutely stand yeah. by how much we've already achieved, how many growers have come up to us and the amazing growers we have. And it doesn't mean that people need skill. We have some that are very experienced and some that are just interested, and that's fine.
So how many people do you think you've got involved growing now?
Oh, it's hard to know, but we will have a limit. That's what Meg was saying. Like, you know, as a group of three people that have a life otherwise too, we know that just communication and logistics, we probably will put a limit at 30 growers.
Yeah.
But we'll be keen if there's lots of growers to sort of start another one in Faulkner or Benroy, or, you know, like
yep.
group people more geographically, because I would say there will be a limit to what a group, the size of the group. Yeah.
Yeah. You can. Sorry, Emma, you go ahead.
Yeah, we're just gonna, I think we've probably got about 10 sort of regular growers, but we've had a lot of people come to our various working bees and sales and things. So it's a constantly evolving sort of pool of volunteers, I'd say.
Yeah. And remind me again, who came up with that model, that distributed nursery model? Was that through the
Brunswick Communities for Nature?
And
well, that's who we know.
Yeah, and Tree Project's been doing that. Mm. But Tree Project grows things for farmers in the country, Victoria wide. We certainly don't, we really want to be localized.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's the idea of you get people growing at home, whatever they can grow, and then you gather it back and redistribute.
Mm-hmm.
And we distribute through Sale Tree Project, we distribute through contracts they've got with farmers
mm-hmm.
who want that many hundreds plant. That's way too big for us.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Yeah. So you're filling a niche, aren't you?
Yeah. And the exciting thing about it is that you never know what we're going to have. Like, it's not like a regular nursery when you can expect that you found X, Y, Z. It's like, hello, that's why I'm not a pop-up thing. Just like,
yeah. Yeah.
Prize.
Really good. Okay, look, that is all we've got time for. So thank you very much for coming on the show. It's been very inspiring talking to you both. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Lovely chatting to you.
My name is Anne Stanley, and my guests were Emma, May, and Pascal. And before we go, an important announcement from Local Food Connect. They're having an open farm day, which is, they're describing it as a weekend of fun and learning for the whole community. It's 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. Saturday, 4th and 5th of October, and it's official public launch of the Greenwood Farm at Bundura Secondary College. And it's a really great project, this. So Bundura Secondary College has developed the World of Urban Agriculture and Conservation program into their curriculum, and students explore connections between agriculture, the STEM subjects, and environmental sustainability using practical learning experiences. So it's a thriving on-campus farm that produces fresh seasonal food that supports both the school and the wider community. And Local Food Connect is a non-profit community group that works across North East Melbourne to increase understanding about the importance of our local food system. Now, Local Food Connect's role at the farm is to facilitate community involvement. But not only that, the Banyule City Council's on board, and they've facilitated that connection between the secondary college and Local Food Connect, and is supporting it through its council urban food strategy. And also the state government has provided a grant, and that's what's been used to set all this up. So it's the state government living local program. So the it's a really exciting thing. It really is. It's state government, Vic Health, Bundura Secondary College, and Local Food Connect. So, you know, a community group, a school, two levels of government all involved in this. So great to have as many people as possible going along to their open day, 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. Saturday 4th and Sunday the 5th of October at Bundura Secondary College, which is 53 Balmoral Avenue,
Bundoora.
A real achievement there, I think, and a shout out to Chris Chappell, who are very much behind it all. Until next week, love the land you're on, share your surplus and take care of each other. Stay tuned now to 3CR for more Radical Radio with Latin American Update. Bye for now.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.